blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings of their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, to dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, and by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dharma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
We're few in number this morning, folks might want to consider moving in a little bit closer. So what should we look at this morning?
Well, I just had the experience the last couple of weeks of being ill.
It being ill, yeah.
I mean, I'm cold.
Mm-hmm. Contagious, germy.
Yes. And so that was just an interesting experience because I think it's been 2 or 3 years since anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so I had a chance to look at some things, one of which I want to say is, you know, normally I'm down here 4 or 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And I can sort of get to taking things like the radio show for granted, or, you know, calls, guidance calls and stuff like that. But I really got it when I couldn't come down, mm-hmm. how important those are. Mm-hmm. I was so grateful. And it felt, I mean, people talk about this who live at a distance, but, you know, it's just a way of feeling so connected.
Mm-hmm. So the radio show and the guidance calls have helped to make you feel very connected. And and it's just because you weren't coming down to the monastery as frequently and had that kind of connection that you really noticed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I'm normally very healthy, so I can take being healthy for granted. Mm-hmm. And then I get a cold and I realize I can't just take it for granted. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the same thing, you know, I'm down here a lot, so mm-hmm. I can take all those other things, mm-hmm. all those other things for granted. And then all of a sudden I really got, and how grateful I felt for mm-hmm. me and for the Sangha. Mm-hmm. How immediate it feels to be on a, listening to the radio show, or on a guidance call, or on a, you know, having a practice morning. It just, it really does create a sense of being right there with Sangha.
Mm-hmm. You said how immediate it feels? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty, it's an incredible opportunity. And you said you haven't been ill like this in 2 or 3 years, and probably in that time, there's been so many more practice opportunities available.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've always felt like it was just a sheer act of miraculous heroism to me that people who are other places in the country before any of this existed yes. have hung in there. I mean, there have been people who have been part of the Sangha for as long as I have, mm-hmm. Who initially were really isolated. Yeah. And now there's such a web of connections, all those tweets and all that. Anyway, so that was one thing. I just was struck, and I was grateful for the opportunity to get it.
Yeah.
Just, not only, I mean, I've always known it was important, but I experienced it as the powerful connection it is. Yeah. And so I'm just grateful for that experience.
It's one of those things, well, I'm sick, that's bad news. Maybe yes, maybe no.
Maybe yes, maybe no. Well, and that's the other part was, first of all, I had the advantage of being sick without feeling terrible.
Yeah.
I just had a cold. But it was also just a great chance to tune into my body in a different kind of way. You know, walking down here, it was interesting, I was listening to my recorder, and a couple of years ago I fell, and I chipped a bone in my elbow. And I was recording, but I was listening to the recording about that, you know, and about what it was like to suddenly have an arm that didn't work for a while. And it was the same experience. It's very helpful, periodically, to just be reminded of all the things I take for granted. And it's easier to not take them for granted when I'm forcibly reminded that I can't take them for granted. So it was just a good experience. It was a nice experience of getting things done that I put off forever because I was too busy to do them. Mm-hmm. So all kinds of little quiet things around the house I was able to do. But just also a kind of willingness to be patient and let things run their course. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I was saying on that recorder coming down, and I wasn't thinking of this last week, but I think I was in fact in this position, which was trusting that my body wants to heal and that my job is to just support it in its process of doing that.
As you're speaking this morning, what I'm just seeing a lot of kindness present to just really be willing to take care of this body and to, you know, just nurture it and give it what it needs and
yeah, and you know, it's what I've got. So I might as well live with it comfortably. And it's funny because just as I was getting over the cold, all the trees opened, all the trees blossomed. So now I'm dealing with the same exact same symptoms with allergies. And again, it's just like, well, that's just what it does, you know. And it doesn't have to be anything about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just what it does, and you know, 99% of it functions beautifully. And just to be grateful for that, and to notice. So I guess just that the whole experience put me in a different place than I normally am, and so it gave me a different perspective than I normally have. Mm-hmm. And I feel like practice gave me the patience to pay attention and just sort of sit back and say, well, let's see what happens here when this goes on.
Sounds like you had an opportunity to stand back and look at where you are, where you haven't had that opportunity for a couple of years, and that. Change and growth that's happened in that time.
Yeah.
And the willingness to just, you know, sit with this person no matter what.
No matter what.
If she's sick, no matter if she's not sick, no matter if it's, you know, she's feeling emotional. Yeah. It's just to be in that place of acceptance and be with her. And what else is there to do?
What else is there to do? You know, you just, one other thing just reminded me as you were reflecting was a couple of weeks ago when I was in group, I commented on kind of being aware of watching the process of growing older and not knowing what that's like, but being of an age that could be considered older. and just sort of deciding to just watch what happens rather than, because there's so many preconceptions and so many messages. Yeah. And I thought in a way this was like a little concentrated version of the same process. And then, just seeing what it is like to become an older person is like seeing what it's like to have a cold or seeing what it's like to have an allergy, just more drawn out. So it felt like sort of a good practice opportunity to do what I want to do as I move forward age-wise as well.
That's such a good point. It's just taking the opportunity to just be open and kind of explore and watch. Well, this is a different set of, you know, sensations or experiences, and let me explore it and look at it and find out, instead of going into it with that notion of, this is what it means to be old, and this means this, and this means that, and the cold means this, and the cold means that, but to just come with a way different attitude of mind to the whole.
Yeah, I'm just kind of finding it interesting.
Yeah, interesting, and watching it. Yeah. And again, going back to just being with the being.
Yeah. Now there's so much less struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, I just really got that struggle that we put ourselves into, or conditioning puts us into, is just so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. So draining.
Yeah.
It's so unnecessary.
Yeah. Thank you.
I appreciate it so much in that. So first, the piece about really appreciating the opportunities I was away from the monastery a little while ago, for I guess a couple weeks, and same thing, just, you know, listening to the radio show, it was like, the radio show! Yeah, really. And it's so fun, because just like was being said, like, intellectually, I mean, I know, the radio show is amazing. I love them every week, I love the radio show. But also knowing intellectually that it just, I just go to sleep to that, mm-hmm. to how great it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was really fun to have that experience of.
So it sounds like rather than, it was an opportunity instead of going to sleep to it, to yeah. really like have it from a different perspective, yeah. maybe, and what that feels like to have the radio show when you're not feeling quite as connected to
yeah.
to Sangha and.
Yeah, like to see it again.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we talk about, we don't do this, now we have this great service that picks people up at the, you know, in the city, the big city, and brings them here. But we used to do that. We used to go get people. And I remember that experience of, it's just so amazing how just driving down the driveway with people who have never been here before in the car, mm-hmm. without even trying or thinking about it, it's just, it's brand new
yeah.
somehow. Just yeah. having them yeah. in the car, it's yeah. like, just that just provides that, bubbles up that perspective.
Right.
And I see things that I don't usually see.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's like, you know, well, like any, you know, going somewhere you've been before. Like I recently went with my mom to somewhere that I love. I've been a billion times. And showing her around was so
yeah.
fun. It was like, and she was such a willing patient. You know, she's, oh, I love that, great. And so it's just fun to have that newness back available.
Really, we've all had that experience of having a guest come to visit, and
yeah.
we go and do things in our own town that we
yeah.
never ever,
right.
you know, do or we've done before, and we see it through
yeah.
brand new eyes, and
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. There were a lot of pieces in that that I feel like touched on things I've been looking at. So it feels like I'm in another sort of ego death, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I was resonating in that first conversation with the piece about not struggling, mm-hmm. And really seeing, watching ego struggle
mm-hmm.
without mm-hmm. needing to identify when it's struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that in what you were saying. It's just watching it go through the struggle and realizing that it's not you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at least in my experience, it's one of the trickiest places in practice, mm-hmm. really. And it, as I was reporting about it this morning, it just kind of bubbled up that I feel like that's maybe what we're pointing at with going farther and faring worse,
mm-hmm.
where practice is going deeper, practice mm-hmm. is going farther. Ego goes
that's
crazy. And so it, you know, it's threatened. Its life
yeah.
is in danger.
Yeah.
And that's awful for it.
Right.
And it's doing everything it can to get, in this case, me, to identify with that worse.
Uh-huh. Because it does feel awful when you're in that identification with ego.
Yeah.
And
And just really, really getting the good news in that. When ego is that stirred up,
mm-hmm.
that perturbed, something really kind of foundational is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, just to really see the joy in that. You know, that's ultimately what the being wants.
It is what the being wants. It is what the heart wants.
And
so, you know, I know for myself that's one of those places took a long time to get in practice.
Yeah.
And I still work with it, you know,
yeah.
it's where I want to go, it's
yeah.
where ego is just really having a hard time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
yeah.
to work in its space, so to speak, and
yeah.
it's really squawking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What I was looking at with it this morning is that it feels like it's always some version of, I suddenly wake up to a place where ego has had the attention,
mm-hmm.
ego has had kind of,
mm-hmm.
in whatever area it is,
mm-hmm.
and then with that awareness, it feels like what comes right with that is the inspiration to And I'm not sure quite how to talk about it, but the inspiration to redouble my efforts to have the attention here on life, mm-hmm. with whatever that is, mm-hmm. you know. And the thing that made me look at that was, in listening to recordings, I realized, wow, there are so many areas where ego has had the attention. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what would be an example. Like anxiety, mm-hmm. perfect example. I think for my whole life, until suddenly a few years ago, I really woke up to what a huge player anxiety had been, mm-hmm. in controlling this being. And with that awareness came this huge inspiration and willingness to go up against that, basically. Mm-hmm. And whoa, ego went crazy, mm-hmm. for a long time.
Yeah, it wasn't examined. It was just the way Jen was. It
exactly.
was the identity, and it, mm-hmm. it could just go along happily.
Exactly.
In anxiety.
Yeah.
And keep you suffering.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And keep me... You know, sort of that Sherry was talking about in a group the other night, that low grade, it's not a good life, but it's manageable, and you know. And then suddenly, it's like when it's that obvious, it feels like it's no longer an option to just let ego have its way with it. And so it's not even really, that's why I was using the word inspiration. It's not even a volitional, all right, here we go. Now I'm going to, because that feels a little bit like ego working on ego.
Yeah.
But it just feels like with that awareness can come the inspiration of the possibility here. Mm-hmm. And then as that transformation begins to happen, oh boy, there's a lot of discomfort, at least for me, in that. But what I was seeing in listening back to recordings is that, of course, in times like this, ego would say, I mean, this is terrible. Yeah. You know, look at how many years of practice you've had, and still there's this much struggle, right? But I suddenly realized in listening to recordings, I don't have that struggle with anxiety, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, it's just applying the same thing to the next whatever, you know?
Right.
And then it's the layers of the onion
coming
off.
And it's just what it does, too. It just wants to keep our attention focused back on, you know, some illusion that, you know, oh, this is the same way.
Yeah.
This is the same experience as it used to be, when indeed, when you're, you stop and look, it is not at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just really, really, really appreciate that shift in perspective from, oh, this is awful for me, and, you know, what am I doing wrong? And it's all ego-focused on ego.
Yeah.
Me, I, mine, how do I feel, what do I get, what do I don't, I don't like this. And, you know, it's the most insidious part of that is that as if the being is served in that. As if we're looking around for what will be good for the being, and that's not what's going on at all.
No, it's just to keep the being in that stirred up state of, of suffering and, and not be able to see what's actually going on. Just so identified with that struggle and not being able to see that it's, that actually the authentic person that's like, it doesn't even have a thing to do with it.
Not a thing to do with
not
it.
Not a thing.
That is such a good reminder. And, you know, it's funny. We're an unusual group of people, I think. At least I'm unusual in that the things that are so reassuring to me in these times are things like, there is no Jen. We're all going to die really, really soon. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just that, you know, just that reminder of, I mean, this form, in a shockingly short period of time, is not going to be here. Mm-hmm. This, so, wow! You know, wow! Just,
So, you know, there are no big deals.
No big deals.
What is this going to be like at the end of my life? Or the,
Just back the adventure of just feeling things and smelling things and tasting things and the amazing smell of the air this morning, and you know, just really boom, shifts the perspective back so much.
I'd like to go back to it. I think you said something very interesting that you were going through another ego death, and I just wondered if you'd say a little more about that, because I think that, you know, it can be held like, we go through one ego death, and that's it.
Yeah. But, you know. I was thinking about the same thing this morning. I was like, boy, cat's got nothing on ego. Cat's got nine lives. Right?
Yeah.
Ego, especially Phil, just has, you know, and I don't know if that's sort of the right image for it, or if it's just layers of it, or what really. But it does, yeah, it's like, it truly feels like a death, like a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's an image, I can't quote it well because I don't really know the history of it and all that, but I've heard it referenced, I think it's in Hinduism, of burnt seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe burning karma. Okay, so that's that. It feels like each time something like this happens, karma is burnt. We're burning through karma, and that particular piece of it is burned.
Yeah,
and that it can feel like, as I said a few minutes ago, it can feel like like in the worst part of the struggle, when there's the most identification with it, it can feel like nothing's ever been burnt. I'm right at the beginning, where I always have been, and this is awful. But in fact, it's just the deeper layer.
Uh-huh.
And had I encountered, how do I say this? Had I encountered this piece of the onion where I am right now 10 years ago, there's no way I wouldn't have even seen it. It wouldn't have even been on the radar screen, because it's so much deeper into the onion than I would have been able to even recognize at that point.
Yeah. Would not have been recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
So each layer, it's like each layer you learn something that helps you, assist you to see into the next layer, and then you learn something there and that helps you to see, and then it's all this process of burning and letting go. And
And you could, it feels like you could just as easily say unlearn something.
Unlearn.
You know, sort of strip. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't. Over the last few months, we've been having folks strip the windows of the monastery, where there's, over the years, there's these layers that have built up on these beautiful redwood windowsills that we've got. And it's an incredible process, because it takes hours to do one windowsill, and it can feel like, this is having no effect. And then suddenly, the bare, beautiful, actual wood that's always been under there starts to be revealed.
Uh-huh.
And it feels a little bit like that.
It's that same
that
thing.
Process.
That unlearning.
Yeah.
So that an authentic nature can just not shine through.
Yeah.
The beauty.
You know, just the last piece of it is that kind of that place of supporting the being and not supporting ego through these times. And I've been watched in the morning. I watch it. Wake up, and it just comes online like that. Just boom, 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 really quickly. It starts to just build up the pieces. And I go through times where I really enjoy waking up, you know, early, and just for a few minutes just lying in bed and just listening to recordings and being so cozy and kind of being with the being. And it sort of feels like, you know, quiet, special, cozy time together or something like that. And what I've been watching, I just got it this morning, is that's not really been happening. The time that I'm waking up has not been special time.
It's not special cozy.
No. And as much as there's like, I really want it to be special and cozy, it's kind of not what's happening. And that what I notice is within a very few short minutes of waking up, the energy is building again.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happened this morning, I
mean,
the energy of just being here in life, everything's fine, starts to return.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just suddenly realized this morning, okay, got it. We're not in a time where being in a cozy bed is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, the thing to do is wake up and get up.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, that's so cool. Because, you know, ego always wants to make it into a rule. Okay, from now on, what we do is we have cozy time. Or from now on, the minute I wake up, I need to get out of bed. But just paying attention to what's so.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, what's so right now is that it's going to be really supportive when I wake up, whatever time it is, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what is supporting the energy system, yeah. for whatever reason. I don't have to understand why or make any meaning out of that. Or even mean that in 3 days from now, we won't go back to finding that cozy place again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's such a great point, that you don't have to understand why. You don't have to make a rule out of it. You just have to be present to see what's called for in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to go to sleep anything.
Yeah.
You know, to just be there and know that it's, this is not supporting the being.
Yeah.
I'm told it's cozy time, but it's actually...
not cozy.
Not cozy.
Well, that's special.
Yeah. Boy, it's that same thing about, you know, we were talking about earlier about what feels comfortable and ultimately is not comfortable.
It's not comfortable. Yeah. And it's so amazing how that can go under the radar screen for a little while with a story of, but this is what I want. And meanwhile, it's like, this is what I want, and what's wrong with me that I can't do this?
Yeah.
Why am I not being able to make this cozy and happy and special? And
Yeah.
No. We don't need to have that conversation.
And it's what it loves to turn it on to. It's, you know, what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. And
that's very helpful. When Susan left this morning, she listened to me for a couple minutes, but she had to go away kind of fast, and she said, it's a great kindness when she said it. She said, you're going up against karma.
You're going up against karma.
And she said, she's watched me for the last 4 days, where I've had these little, brushes of the delight and the equanimity, while
those little bubblings of delight.
Just right in the middle. And then a lot of it has been when I get identified. And even when I don't, there's this bone crushing at the inner new levels of a... which is... this morning I... Susan saw this too. I was like this. I was hysterical. I was laughing and I couldn't... it was when just about 3 days after Claire was born, I was lying, this is my first child, I was lying in the hallway and I was having a nervous breakdown, you could say, because I could not go back in time just 2-3 days before that to the time when she wasn't there. That my life was totally different. And so this morning, Susan saw this and I was laughing. I was in that same hysterical kind of spot. I can't believe that I can't not go up against this. I can't go back in time when this wasn't happening.
Boy, isn't that,
let's go be distracted. Or it's on, and it's like I heard earlier, it's not on from this I'm going to now attack you in its ego versus ego way. It's a, I didn't really sign up for this.
Right.
I didn't really sign up for it.
Yeah.
And I had total willingness somewhere to do this.
Yeah.
And it's on, and it's not going like it's not going to not go on.
Yeah.
And yet those little brushings of just total delight, total equanimity, total peace, of not being identified with it, watching it absolutely on fire, burning down, is supposed to be good for you. So it's okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Just what a gift to have those little infusions of delight in the middle of this situation where you didn't choose it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go back. It feels like you can't go forward. You're just...
Yeah, it's all. It's just unfolding right now. And when I walked down here, I saw that this thing, which is, seems really heavy and deep and big because it's kind of old, is absolutely no different than when a friend took me out about 2 months ago and changed some things around, gave me some guidance with a golf swing.
Mm-hmm.
I had to totally forget everything I knew and trust this new process, even though it felt completely wrong, uncomfortable. It was the right thing to do. It was just that if you want this, do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this big, huge thing, to drop all these little pieces, as I was sitting here earlier, is no different than dropping this. It's just the same. It's a dropping.
It's the same process of just dropping
it.
And what hasn't worked. It sounds like, you know, just like in the gospeling, dropping what hasn't worked and just being willing to try something else.
The thing kind of started when I wrote down, I was doing a job search and people wrote down, said, write down your dream job. And I just would say, whatever. I got overhead, I gotta go to work.
Dream job, yeah.
You know, dream job, dream whatever. So anyway, after about, I heard it 5 or 6 times, I wrote down a number of what the dollar would be, and I wrote down an activity, and then I just kind of threw the thing aside. On Valentine's Day, I got a phone call to go do that very thing at just about that very price. I didn't know that at the time. And or maybe even better. And I was just totally open to, okay, if it's time for this now, let's do that. Let's just do that. And the identity that was super excited about, hey, I think that my ship has come in, hey, this could be kind of cool, he's now suddenly nowhere to be found. And I've got, you know, the terror guy, the inadequacy guy, all these other things that are completely old and karmically fizzly that need to get burned away, apparently. I didn't know I was doing so poorly with them. I thought they would be on the home right here, but they're on their way wherever they go when they go, and then I guess they come back.
They were hiding out, and now they're here.
Because I'm not inadequate, I'm not less than, I'm not all those things that have crept around at some level. Abundance could, in fact, I was on my favorite little blue chair and I was tapping into abundance, and I had no job, all the things that I thought were associated with abundance I did not have. And yet there was complete abundance and complete emptiness and surrender and all this nice stuff and openness happening. So if this thing comes in, and all, even if I'm going to talk to some people on Tuesday, and even if it doesn't result in what it could result in, if I've just gone through this process and that's what this has all been about, I'm totally overpaid. I'm a millionaire.
Talk about abundance. You know, and to also have the opportunity to, I mean, the ego's coming up with, I'm inadequate, it is inadequate. You know, ego is inadequate. Ego is all of those things that it wants to paste on to your experience.
And I see after we finish the meditation that if I am suffering, it's because I'm choosing something over ending suffering.
Yeah.
When I suffered and I got identified with that bone-crushing thing, it's not a guilt thing, it's not I'm a bad person or something. It's because I won't drop, can't drop, don't know how to drop, whatever it is, the dropping hasn't happened yet. And I'm totally fine with not dropping stuff if I can't or don't know how, but when it's time to drop it, that's what's gonna happen. I like all of that stuff, and I still don't have a job. I still don't have all the stuff that I thought I had to be able to say I was okay.
Right.
And I dropped bigger pieces than, or I'm dropping. I think I dropped a few huger pieces that I would never have been able to. Well, let's not. I'm learning how to drop stuff. That's no matter what it looks like or. If it feels like it's super big and hard, I'm learning how to drop that. Just like the little ones. You can just drop no matter how bone crushing they are.
Yeah, and it's probably ego that would want to categorize things.
This one's big,
this one's small, yeah. You know, and oh well, that's easy to drop, but this is, you know.
Scam.
You know, it's just all the way it keeps us kind of fixated on quote the problem.
Yeah.
You know? And you're just seeing that underneath all of that is who you authentically are.
Yeah, those little brushes with that delight is just that's, you know, it's got nothing to do with what I thought would have to make delight come about.
Yeah.
It's just there anyway.
Yeah.
It's flittering around, ready to just kind of take over, you know, dominate the world. You know, delight running the show. Oh, no. Yeah.
You know, I was just reading a quote that reminded me of that, that most people do not have any sense of what inner joy is at all. You know, they don't have any experience of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just have to, it's something folks have to trust that's there until they can have an experience of it. And it sounds like for you, that's, you're starting to have an experience of that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's, like I say, it's not something I really signed up for. And if you told me this is what you're going to go through and then you'll be happy and all the, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not going to sign up for it. Probably not going to be happy afterward.
Right.
And yet, you know, just walking down the lane, it's, boy, I gotta, you know, this is what the Jesuits say. If this is poverty, let's bring on chastity. We got to really just bring it. Let's bring it on. It's, and nothing has changed since nothing. No outside is different at all.
Well, that is, you know, it's the hero's journey, isn't it? Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to be back.
Great.
I was reading through the guidebook or the book that goes with the Hermitage.
The guest book.
Thank you.
Yes.
And
so that's great. The book that goes with the Hermitage. Okay, this is yes.
And I don't know. It's somewhere. It was. I think Sherry was relating what some people feel when they come to this practice, which is like, or they sit with a group that follows a privileged environment like it is here, and, you know, why is it this way? Everyone seems so unfriendly, da 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 da. And then she goes on to say that, and then the people who are complaining will say, well, you know, how do we get to know anybody? And then she says, well, here we get to know people heart to heart, not ego to ego. And I don't have a sitting group back home. So this is like the first group I've sat in since after the bridge walk in 2011, when I was here last. And yeah, it's great. And then driving in yesterday, it's been a tumultuous 24 hours. You know, things coming up and a burst of tears or whatever. Just, the first one was passing the little sign on the road that says, slow down, our squirrels don't know when to. I don't know what that set me off, but yeah, it's just so clear here when I can have all these experiences and be able to see the difference between, you know, egos taking over in the kitchen, like, you know, trying to find something to do, so I'm not standing around, and then, you know, I'll catch myself trying to wash fast. I think when I was here last, I would say to myself before, I'm just filling the blank. I'm just washing the dishes, and so I'm just eating my food. I'm just doing this thing, and then to just come back to here. It's just so much clearer here to be able to see it. Whereas, because my last year and a half has been, I've been doing a lot of awareness with my body and a lot of activities and strengthening and all kinds of good stuff there. But my awareness has not been on. I've not been meditating much or recording and listening. So I can see the body stuff has been great, and it's what I needed then and still need, but it's the everything else that sort of has affected my, you know, relationships. I can tell with my kids and my wife in particular. It's clear now how I've been the last year or so at home. Like, okay.
You know, what you're describing is, I think, one of the advantages of being in the privileged environment, to just be in an environment that gives us an opportunity to really see conditioning at work and how it has impacted our lives. And, you know, you noticing the change, what it's meant in your life to return to this after a period of time of being outside of that. Mm-hmm. And we've been looking a lot at the privileged environment lately, and the great thing is that we can actually carry it with us, you know, wherever we are. And so,
Well, this is going to be conditioning talking, but then the first thought that goes through the head is, well, walk around the house not looking at my family, and I know that's not real.
Yeah.
And, bringing that. It seems easier to do sort of at work when I'm, because I don't have to engage in a thousand different things. But and that I'll have to look at that some more. But that will be something I'll definitely look at in a month from now when I go back, is how to bring it in to my home life, because right now my conditioning first reaction is it won't work.
Always it's first reaction. It's actually my experience. It's like, are you kidding? This is, my case is terminal. So, it'll be maybe a great exploration for you in your time here to look at the privileged environment and what that is and how we carry that with us wherever we go. Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what I'm going to say.
Always a good place to start.
As usual, the voices are doing their worst, best. And I go in and out of believing. Mm-hmm. And the one that I hear every Sunday, I hear it every single, well, I hear it every day, but I really hear it on Sunday. It's what I've talked about before, which is everybody else practices so much harder than you do.
It's the perfect expert. It's over here watching us all.
And so I'm trying to find out what the next line would be. I know that I suppose the point is the same point the voices always have, which is to keep themselves alive through causing suffering. But if I said, you're right, everybody perhaps is so much harder than I do, what shall I do about that?
Yes. And we'd all like to know.
Thank goodness.
you know? Yeah. That's a cause to celebrate.
But I think it just seems like all right around the edges of this line is the person who thinks, who is trying to, who just has this belief that it's the way to live. That's the way to live, is to try to meet those standards.
That's right.
And it seems like I spent a lot of time not very far from her. Mm-hmm. And
it's an interesting place to look to see what is going to be delivered, you know, to us if we meet these standards.
Yeah. And I get fussy about what is meeting some nebulous ego standard, and what is being kind to this person. Mm-hmm. And that line blurs. Mm-hmm. Am I being, am I operating out of shoulds here? Has ego talked me into just being this indulgent, whatever? Mm-hmm. Or is this truly taken care of? Mm-hmm. And of course, I want an answer. Very clear the line, clear the John, so that I don't know what's going on, so that I can do what I'm supposed to do.
So you can do the right thing.
Yes, mm-hmm. The right thing.
So looking at what's truly kind for the being versus what would be, and I can see as you say that, I mean, that could even be a standard you're trying to meet with conditioning as far as kindness goes.
Yes.
You know, so where is that place of what's authentically kind?
Yeah.
And
another piece of it dropped in the second development was so I have one of those great supports that are available to us. I have a Zen awareness coach. Some work that I'm doing that is so much fun and takes a lot of time. And I have a great deal of support for it. And I'm very privileged to do it. And I can get pretty tense about it. I can get pulled into some stressful places with it, which pretty much prevents me from being good at doing it.
from enjoying it.
And so I brought that to my coach, and it was suggested that this is all coming back to being kind to this person, circling back, that during this time that the priority is taking care of this person, that just has to be paramount. Mm-hmm. Don't sit in front of a computer and work until your body's in so much pain that you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't believe the sugar addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, that's a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. And when the coach said that, it just I said, I never think in those terms. Mm-hmm. I never think in terms of taking care of this person. Mm-hmm. Paramount.
Mm-hmm. That's not never the first priority, just to take care of this being.
Yeah.
And yet, if we're not taking care of the being, well, there's nothing to give. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can thank you.
It is that.
I hadn't thought of that either.
You know, in a way, I mean, this has come up for me too, it is the most egocentric thing to not take care of the being, mm-hmm. you know, and to be so frazzled and strung out.
Well, yeah, egocentric in that, feeding the hungry ghosts, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the illusion is I'm being helpful,
mm-hmm.
and sunk in the group sense or something, I don't know. And part of that is sublimating any needs of
it. Yeah. And boy, what is it? I mean, I know for myself.
And it's been so long, and I'm so bad at it, I don't know an authentic need from the most blatant egocentric bamboozle. I don't. It's so hard to know.
It's so hard. We do know what it feels like to be around someone that's actually taking care of themselves. It's such a relief. Versus what it feels like to be around someone that's like
stressed out
and doing this for our own good, or, you know.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the people I'm working with are extremely good models of taking care of themselves. And I can hear it when I breathe.
You can hear the what?
The shaky breath.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
uh-huh.
The tension in it.
Yeah.
It's.
I've been reminded by an awareness coach lately about the movie Beautiful Mind, and that makes me want to watch it again. But you know, to just get to that place that he did in that, they're not real. And you know, that's what we have to get to, that place of they're yattering on, they're telling me of this is how I should live my life, and they're not real, you know. And boy, it's been helping me lately to just, oh yeah, they're not real. They're not real. They're going to be walking along beside of me for the rest of my days, you know, yattering at me, telling me what I need to do and how I need to do it right, but they're not real.
Things in the middle of this kind of thing was taking the practice wherever I go. I had the opportunity to take a bunch of seventh graders to San Francisco museums, and I was looking at the interview questions that I had, and I looked at them late at night on Wednesday, and they were kind of on my mind on Thursday. And one of the questions was, tell us a time when you made a decision where you initially started out baffled, and you know, what was the situation, what was the result? And the funniest thing, I was walking around the museum going, I can't get this question answered. Like, what is the right answer? And I turned to a friend of mine and went, I'm doing that process. I am baffled. And it was so nice to have that little practice be, you could see the process actually, instead of getting identified as, I would have walked around like a zombie I would have never seen any of these Rembrandt pictures, nothing. And I could just drop up.
You would have been noodling how to answer that question rather than...
Because I went to the spot of, I don't get baffled. And what happens is, when I don't get baffled, I'm not open to any other possibility than what I think. Mm-hmm. So it's great to start baffled. That's the start. Get baffled as soon as you can. And get open and get done with all of the thoughts that you have so you can maybe get another one.
And, but that's a key point, is get baffled, but not to noodle the baffling, you know, to have, hold it, let sounds like, kind of hold it like a koan, and then walk it around, and then boom, the insight just fell in.
And as I was talking with a friend on this little thing, I said, that's the greatest place to start. I hope more and more of my decisions that I make come after I've been baffled, and I don't immediately go to my head to get the right answer and figure things out and remain closed to all of the other things that baffling that have let me kind of explore. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that, I wonder if this might work. I don't get to make any selection from things because I've already swept them away as wrong or whatever that is. Yeah. So carrying this practice around, just watching your stuff, it's kind of entertaining. Not all. You could see me at times when it's, you don't look very entertained, but that was an entertaining moment. But,
That's great.
Yeah, thank God for practice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Baffled, what a great word. Mm-hmm.
I just appreciated the reminders of they're not real, and that place of, I had a moment recently of. It was just a difficult, just in that vice grip. And really just sitting there and looking at, if someone could come along and tell me, you're doing it exactly right. All of it, everything, every piece of it is exactly right. I just realized that in that, it's not, I don't mind struggling, I don't mind, you know, all of it. There's nothing actually inherent in any of it that's a difficulty. It's just that there's this big karmic thing of, is it right? Is it right? And what a complete deal breaker to ego it is to just go, yep, it's brilliantly right all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, you just cut it off as
amazing. It's brilliantly right all the time. You know, the radical, unconditional love and acceptance of everything. Mm-hmm. It's exactly right.
Wow, that's exactly brilliant and right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Just felt that you need more tension drain, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it immediately, there's just feels like there's a little engine in me that goes with yes, but.
Yeah.
Or that grabs everything true and twisted for its purpose.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. And I think I get caught there. Mm-hmm. I gets caught there.
I gets caught in the twisting of how.
Yeah. And I go through periods where the utter rightness of everything is just immediate. And I'm just looking, just see it. It's just like it's in the air. It just bubbles in the body.
Yeah, it just bubbles like
in the body.
Yeah, in the body, the utter rightness of things.
Yeah.
And, all we have to do is go and stand in the yard and look.
Yeah. And then the energy moves, or identification descends, or something.
Yeah.
And that's when I get told everybody practices harder than you are. So here we are, full circle. That's the point.
Exactly. And it's all brilliantly right, you know. And that's our morning. Thank you.